Linda Tyler's picture sits atop my desk at home. That's because she taught me how to be a minister. A public school teacher by trade, she was also the Christian education elder at Covenant Presbyterian Church in Austin. Right out of seminary, green as St. Augustine grass, I began work as their youth minister. And though I may have learned a lot about theology and Bible at Austin Seminary, I did not know how to be a minister, much less a youth minister. So in the fall of 1975, I was indeed called, but clueless. And that's when Linda went to work on me. Now, on the first day on the job, Linda alerted me to the Christian Education Committee meeting that night. And in all honesty, I asked her, what's a Christian Education Committee? She looked at me in disbelief. And I, as you would expect, I felt very sheepish. And that evening, I saw firsthand how committees in the Presbyterian Church oversee the work of the church. And I saw what a masterful moderator Linda was in that meeting. What a leader. Now, time does not permit me to tell you how much I learned from this brilliant woman of faith. She taught me how to preach. Keep it brief, Frank. We have short attention spans. She taught me how to teach. Start where the youth are and build on that. She also taught me how to lead retreats. Make it fun, but meaningful. She taught me how to preside at the communion table. Remember, this is your priestly function, to bring people into God's presence. She taught me how to relate to the parents in this very large youth group. They have to trust you to entrust their children to you. I literally could go on and on about what I learned from her. But one final story. Linda and I led an 8-month confirmation class beginning in September through Holy Week. The class of 22 students was confirmed on Maundy Thursday night. Now that night, three of our brightest boys had a sleepover since there was no school on Good Friday. But they did not sleep. In fact, in the dead of night, they snuck out and did what a lot of middle school kids do. They broke into their middle school. And inside, they broke everything in sight in the science lab. Everything. And it turns out they did not like their science teacher, so they broke his beakers. Well, they were caught, and we were in shock. And there were, of course, consequences from the school administration, and there were consequences at church. Linda held a meeting with the three boys and their parents, and she helped the parents decide what the boys would face as consequences. And one thing the boys were required to do was to apologize to the confirmation class. Linda organized that meeting with its poignant public apology. It was an amazing moment of confession and forgiveness. And it made a huge impression on all the students, and indeed the entire congregation. And Linda made it happen. And I hope you can understand better now when I say Linda taught me how to be a minister. She tried to equip me with her words and, better yet, her example. And that's why her picture is atop my desk. Some days I say, Linda, what am I going to do? How should I handle this? So I thank God for Linda Tyler of blessed memory, my true mentor in the ministry. So, friends in Christ, it's one thing to be called. It's another thing to be equipped, to have what you need to be a leader of God's people. And that's why God calls us by name and then equips us to serve. Jesus at the Jordan River hears these encouraging words. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then the Spirit of God descends upon him like a dove. So calling and equipping go hand in hand. God still calls us by name and then gives us the spiritual strength to serve. And that's why today is so crucial in the life of any Presbyterian church. Each of our new elders and deacons has been called by name by the nominating committee and your vote as a congregation to serve Christ in this congregation. And each of them is equipped by the Spirit of God who strengthens us and gives us that inspiration to give to others. You are never, ever alone in this calling. Called by God, inspired by the Spirit of Christ, and surrounded by the love of this encouraging congregation, I pray that each one of you will feel equipped to serve this congregation with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love. Now, our text from 2 Isaiah describes the calling of the servant of the Lord. And written during the exile, this unknown prophet is called to announce good news to captive Israel. You're going home. And our text begins like this: Here is my servant, whom I strengthen, the one I have chosen, with whom I am pleased. So called and equipped to proclaim release to the captives. That is the servant of the Lord, whose mission is outlined in four different servant songs in 2 Isaiah. But we're not sure who this servant is. The servant could be Israel as an entire nation, or the new king of Israel, maybe even a messianic figure of the future, or even Cyrus the Persian, the king who actually liberated Israel and sent them home, or a particular prophet like perhaps a new Jeremiah. The identity of the servant of the Lord remains a mystery in 2 Isaiah. But the servant's task is very clear. The servant speaks on behalf of God, the great liberator of his people. Those sitting in prison darkness, they'll be set free. Israel's return home then will shine as a light to all the nations, and the eyes of the blind will be opened. All the nations will see this liberating power of this new exodus. And how will this servant do this grand work? Well, it's interesting, the humility of the servant. The servant will not shout or raise his voice, and a bent reed will not even be broken. No lamps will be smashed. Humbly and calmly, the servant will proclaim a brand new day for Israel. Maybe there's a lesson for us. And through it all, the servant will not lose heart or be discouraged. Why? Very simply, the Spirit of the Lord will uphold the servant with power and comfort. Only the Spirit of God can brace the servant for this arduous task. And the final servant song acknowledges the opposition, even the suffering that this servant must endure in this noble task. The servant of the Lord, you remember in Isaiah 53, will be despised and rejected and acquainted with grief. This is no easy task. The ministry will require sacrifice, but through it all, the Spirit of God will always be there, a mysterious source of hope and courage, the wind in our sails. So, friends in Christ, on this day of ordination and installation, we call upon the Spirit of the Lord to lift up these willing servants and all of us. We pray God's blessings upon them as they take on this task, never as Lone Rangers, never, but always accompanied by Christ our Lord, whose Spirit buoys our spirit and gives us hope and courage and endurance. So, brothers and sisters, welcome to this ministry. You have been called and equipped to serve the living God in this congregation. And remember this, may the Spirit of the Lord be with you, and may the joy of the Lord be your strength. Thanks be to God. Amen.